One writes this, "I've learned a very valuable lesson as a parent. Pretending that you don't know your kids in public is much easier than trying to discipline them in public." Another writes, "Most of America's population think it's improper to spank children. So I came up with a less hands-on way to handle mine. I simply take them on a car ride and talk. They usually stop misbehaving fairly quickly. I've included a photo of one of my sessions with my son in case you would like to use the technique." Discipline is hard. Can certainly be hard to receive. But there's blessing on the other side of it. God's word says so. Psalm 94 and verse 12. "O Lord, blessed is the person whom you discipline and instruct from your teachings." It's a little bit different this morning. Going to be a little bit more difficult to receive. Along the way, as we've considered God's blessing and sort of how we can not just ask for it or pray for it, but how we can make it happen in our lives, we've seen those things, maybe at times a challenge for us, but probably we've recognized, I can do that. Even I want to do that. This morning, our series brings us to Psalm 94. Blessed is the person that God disciplines. And all of a sudden, we feel a little reservation in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit. Discipline. Not sure what that looks like. Not sure how comfortable I am with the thought, God's discipline in my life. I want to live in God's blessing, not sure I want to live in his discipline. This morning, Psalm 94 reveals to us this, that if you want to live the blessed life, if you want to make the blessing happen in your life, you'll want to learn to embrace God's discipline and respond rightly to it. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Endure this hardship as divine discipline. Let God train you, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. Whoever heard of a son who was never corrected? If God doesn't punish you when you need it, as other fathers punish their sons, then it means that you aren't really God's son at all, that you don't really belong in his family. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few brief years, doing the best for us that they knew how. But God's correction is always right and for our best good, that we may share his holiness. Being punished isn't enjoyable while it's happening. It hurts. But afterwards, we can see the result. A harvest of righteousness and peace, and a quiet growth in grace and character. discipline by way of definition, it's education, instruction, it's training. It also makes us to think of correction, chastisement. We're not going to shy away from the word this morning that Hebrews 12 uses, punishment. And really what we discover in Hebrews, it's God using the circumstances of our lives for that purpose. It's really even more than that, more specific than that. Here's the challenge of Hebrews 12. Here's the challenge of God's discipline. It's God using the pain. God using the painful circumstances of our life for the purpose of instruction and training and correction and even chastisement and punishment. God using the pain for the purpose of discipline. In Hebrews 12 and verse 3, look at it again. Consider him who endured from the opposition from sinful men so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. God's discipline, God's teaching, God's preparing, God's correction upon our lives, it comes in the circumstances of life that would have the potential to make us grow weary, make us to lose heart. Do you understand? Things aren't going good in your life when you're thinking, wow, how weary I've become. When you recognize that you're losing heart, maybe day by day, moment by moment even, because of the circumstances that you're going through. Hebrews 12 lets us to know that God's discipline happens in moments like that, where there's the opportunity for you to grow weary. There's the opportunity for you to lose heart. It's in that time that you're experiencing discipline from the Lord. It's stress, it's suffering that presses hard on us, that lasts too long. Come on, how many understand this has gone on too long? Isn't that oftentimes the real problem? It's gone too long, God. I don't understand. I can't make sense. Why haven't you helped yet? Like the psalmist, it becomes the cry of our heart. When, oh Lord, when? When are you going to deliver? When are you going to help? When are you going to heal? And the when question, the when, oh Lord question, if we're not careful, can turn very quickly into us growing weary. And us losing heart. The pain, the suffering, the stress that begins to feel intolerable. And because of that threatens our faith. We grow weary. We lose heart. It's doubt. It's anger that settles in, settles over our soul when we can't make sense of our circumstances. When we can't make sense of God's silence and inaction. We're not going to shy away from it. We're not going to pretend this morning that it doesn't happen. Sometimes the cry of our hearts, we know it, every one of us in this room, to be true. God remains silent. And oftentimes, even in the most desperate of circumstances, he even chooses inactivity in our lives over a great display of his power. The author Max Lucado writes, clouds of doubt are created when the warm, moist air of our expectations meet the cold air of God's silence. You've been there. Maybe you are now. God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why you won't help. Those circumstances, those trying times of life, God's not doing for you what you believe he should do, what you believe he could do. He's not helping the way you feel he should. He's not providing the way you feel he should. He's not doing the miracle you need him to do. And what he's doing, really all that he's not doing, it doesn't make sense to you. You don't understand. And furthermore, in it all and through it all, God chooses to remain silent. He doesn't explain himself to you. You had hoped and prayed and believed for the healing, but it didn't come. It hasn't come. You had hoped and prayed and believed for the promotion, but it fell through. You had hoped and believed and prayed for the changed circumstances, but everything is still the same. Maybe even it's gotten worse rather than better. You've been let down. Dare we say it? You even feel that God has let you down. The excitement of your expectations has crashed into the cold air of his silence. And maybe even this morning, truth be told, it's made you to grow weary. It's made you to lose heart. God's discipline, it comes in our struggle with sin. It comes in the opposition that we face from sinful men. You see that in Hebrews 12 and verse 3 and verse 4. Consider him who endured opposition from sinful men. That's Jesus. Why consider Jesus and the opposition from sinful men that he experienced? Because you're going to experience the same. Verse 4, in your struggle against sin, there's hostility, there's trouble, there's stress and suffering and sorrow, because there are sinful men all around us, and there is sin that prevails in every aspect, even of our lives and circumstances. What the Christians were going through, it was all things unenjoyable. It was the stuff that hurts. One author describes it this way: joy had been covered with a dark cloud of pain. And where was it coming from? Who's doing it? Who's in charge of it all? Well, the first answer, the surface answer, we've already seen it. Verse 3, it's the hostility of sinners. It's the problem of sin. This is what Jesus endured. This is what we endure. However, what we discover is that this is not the only answer. In fact, this is not the main answer. This is not the decisive answer. These verses of Hebrews 12, they build upon another answer. Where does the suffering come from? Who's doing this? Who's in charge? God is. He is in ultimate control of these afflictions. And they are, in fact, the loving discipline that He, our loving, perfect Heavenly Father, brings into our lives. That's the burden of Hebrews 12. That's the burden of considering the blessing that comes on the backside of his discipline. One commentator writes, in other words, what adversaries do to you out of sinful hostility, God is doing out of fatherly discipline. He's teaching us and correcting us and transforming us. In other words, God has a purpose and design in what's happening to us. God's the ultimate doer here. What hostile sinners mean for harm, God means for good. What they will is hurtful, God wills as helpful. What they plan as destruction, God plans as salvation. What they design as a deterrent to faith, God designs as a discipline for faith. In your struggle, in the stress, in the suffering, Hebrews chapter 12 presents to us a picture that is this, all of it, falling under the umbrella of God's discipline. We discover God's discipline in this stressful, the painful, in the disappointment, in the doubt, in the anger, the confusion. We discover God's discipline in the midst of God's silence and inaction. We discover God's discipline in the very things that would have the potential to make us grow weary and lose heart. Can I ask you this morning, what is there in your life that's doing that? What is there in your life that's threatening to do that in you? Maybe an illness. Maybe a pain that won't stop, maybe a conflict, maybe a problem that won't go away seems to be without solution. What is it that it fits perfectly the description of Hebrews 12, but rather for them then, it's in your life now. Make you to recognize you might even today be experiencing the correction, the training, the discipline of the Lord. Being punished, being disciplined isn't enjoyable while it's happening. It hurts. Some of you are maybe hurting today. You're in the middle of circumstances. You're dealing with stuff that hurts, stuff that's hurting you. It's not pleasant. There's nothing enjoyable about it at all. Discipline. This morning, the reminder, oh Lord, blessed is the person whom you discipline. There's blessing in that pain you're experiencing. Your frustration even with God's silence and God's inactivity. There's blessing in that stress. There's blessing in that struggle. Even the disappointment. The unenjoyableness of your life now. There's blessing in that. There's blessing in it all for you because there's blessing for the one the Lord disciplines. Let me just share with you this morning a few thoughts related to God's discipline. First, the source. Hebrews explains that difficult times may come as a result of God's discipline. In light of that, how important we get then this message from Hebrews as well. Look at it in verse 5. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. Verse 6. For the Lord disciplines who? Those he loves. And he punishes who? Each one he accepts as his child. In verse 8, if God doesn't punish you when you need it, as other fathers punish their sons, then it means you aren't really God's son at all. You don't really belong in his family. God's discipline, despite the difficulty that it comes with, you need to understand, you need to recognize this morning, it is a sign of God's love for you. Wait a minute, Pastor. You're telling me that the very thing that could bring me stress, the very thing that could bring me pain, the very thing that could have the tendency to make me grow weary and lose heart, you're telling me that that's a sign of God's love for me. Well, in fact, I'm not telling you that, but God is. His word reveals to us his love for us. God only corrects. God only disciplines those he loves. Be encouraged in that. Not only is there blessing that awaits you in the discipline, there's a newfound realization and recognition of God's love for you. Revelation chapter 3 to the church in Laodicea, Jesus says, those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. Because his discipline flows from his perfect love for us. You can know and believe this. His discipline then is perfect for us. In verse 10 of Hebrews 12, look at it again. Our fathers disciplined us, doing the best that they knew how. But God's correction is always right and for our best good. We're going to keep saying it because it's true. Discipline is painful. Discipline hurts. It's not pleasant at all. But God's discipline, it's always administered in the right way at exactly the right time. It's always right. It's always good for us. It's the best. One author writes this, our pain is not the effect of God's hate, but of God's love. And then ask this, will you believe it? That really becomes the question. Will you believe that his discipline, and remember, we've already described, according to Hebrews 12, all that discipline is. When you're inclined to grow weary and lose heart, and God's silent, and the pain just won't stop, and nothing seems to change, and the question begins to stir, when? Oh God, when? When are you finally going to come through? When are you finally going to say, when you struggle with the sin and the sin effects of this world, and everything in your life seems to be turning upside down, and when sinful men have made you to be their target, when all around you looks like that, will you believe it? Will you receive it? that God's discipline is flowing into your life from its ultimate source of his love for you. Even more than that, more than just his love, it's an indication of your relationship with him. God's discipline in and on your life is a sign that you belong to him. He's your father. You are his child. Listen, how do we know that? Oh, I'm a child of God. Really? How do you know that you're a child of God? How can you say that? A number of things that we can consider, and certainly the word reveals a lot to us. But according to Hebrews chapter 12, we can believe it, we can know it because of his discipline. His discipline flows from him being your father and you being his child. One commentator says this: much of the force of this verse is lost to modern readers in our age of permissiveness. Such harsh discipline seems cruel to many, and the point of these verses may be overlooked. Discipline is a responsibility here for human fathers. Thus, the father who doesn't provide it shows indifference or lack of love to his children. Who loves his child more? The father who allows the child to do what will harm them, or the one who corrects, trains, and even punishes so as to help them learn what is right? God's word, God's wisdom word, actually answers it for us very clearly in Proverbs 13. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. I was thinking of it in preparing for the message. Wow, how my dad believed in that verse. Looking back, I think it must have been his favorite. Just to give you an idea how much he appreciated, I always remember him talking. He would tell anyone and everyone who would listen. There was a bumper sticker back in the day: have you hugged your child today? And every chance, to every person he could, he would tell him his idea for a bumper sticker based on Proverbs 13. Forget have you hugged your child. My dad's great idea for a bumper sticker on his car, mine and yours: have you spanked your child today? Because that's wisdom's instruction for loving your kids. Kind of think my dad, I wish he would have been a little more liberal in his interpretation, at least related to Proverbs 13. The message puts it this way: a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. I want you to think about that light of our day. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. We tend to think we're loving by not correcting. I want to show my neighbor how much I love them, so I'm not going to get all up in their business. I'm not going to tell them that they need Jesus. I'm going to let them do their own thing. I'm going to let them discover on their own. Absolutely contrary to what God's word says. A refusal to correct. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. The Living Bible says this way: if you refuse to discipline your son, it proves you don't love him. If you love him, you'll be prompt to punish him. It's never pleasant. It's never enjoyable to be corrected and disciplined by God. But his discipline is a sign of his deep love for us. When God corrects you, see it as that. See it as proof of your sonship. Indeed, to refuse discipline would be tantamount to hating one's child. God doesn't hate us. We are his children, children that he loves. And because he does, we are the children that he in turn disciplines. And you're paying. You're not being treated as a slave or as an enemy. Isn't that what the devil wants us to believe? In our pain, in our suffering, in our why, oh God, in our when, oh Lord, the devil's always there in our head and in our ear. You see, he doesn't love you. You see, he's not a good father to you. See, he doesn't care about you. You think he does, but you've been deceived. I'm telling you the truth, though I am the father of lies. You need to listen to me. He doesn't love you. He doesn't want to help you. If he did love you, he would have taken care of the problem. If he did love you, he would have fixed everything for you already. Listen, in your pain. You are not being treated as a slave. You're being treated as a son, a loved child of God. Again, the question's presented. Will you believe it? Will you let the word of God settle the issue for you so that when the suffering comes, you don't turn on God, you don't put him on the stand, you don't doubt him, you don't prosecute him with accusation. God, you don't love me. God, you're not treating me fairly. God, you're not doing right. Will you let the word settle it for you? He loves me. I'm the apple of his eye. I am his son. I am his daughter. And the discipline, God will probably not tell you why it's your turn. And the discipline, God will probably not tell you why it's happening now. He may very well not answer your questions of, God, why is there so much pain? God, why are you taking so long to help? God, why haven't you intervened yet? God may not tell you much. But understand this morning, he has told you all you need to know. Hebrews 12. You are loved and you are his. In the midst of the discipline, will you trust that? Will you trust him? Number two this morning, the purpose. Initially, in light of our verse from Psalm this morning, we could start with this. The purpose of his discipline is blessing. Psalm 94, bless the person whom the Lord disciplines. It's been the pervasive thought these weeks of messages. God's in the blessing business. His will, his desire, his plan for your life is blessing. It's his default response when responding to you. So because his discipline brings blessing, and because blessing is what he wants for you and wants to give to you, he disciplines. It was the author A.W. Tozer who said, "It is doubtful if God can bless a man greatly without hurting him deeply." From our text in Hebrews this morning, let me read it again. Verse 1, follow with me here. "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." That's the purpose. That's what his discipline will do. That's what it will accomplish in your life. It will help you to throw off all that hinders, all that entangles, and it will help you to run with perseverance the race that he has marked out for your life. Verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." That's the purpose of his discipline. That's what his discipline will do. It will help you to keep your eyes on Jesus so that he might author and so that he might perfect faith in you. Verse 3, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart." I know it seems contrary to our thinking. It seems even a little bit the paradox, but that's the purpose of his discipline. That's what his discipline will do. Help you from get from growing weary. Help you to keep from losing heart. Help you to stand firm, immovable, and unshakable in your faith. Verse 6, "For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes the one he accepts as his child." That's the purpose of his discipline. That's what his discipline will do. Help you to recognize just who it is that God loves and who he counts as a son or daughter. You. In the midst of his discipline, that even there, even then, you would know his love and you would know that you belong to him. Endure this hardship as divine discipline. Let God train you. Verse 8, "If God doesn't punish you as fathers punish, then it means that you aren't really his." Verse 10, "Our earthly fathers disciplined us, doing the best they knew how, but God's correction is always right and for our good, that we may share in his holiness." Being punished isn't enjoyable. It hurts, but afterwards we can see the result, a harvest of righteousness and peace and quiet growth in grace and character. In verse 10 and 11, I want you to see the purpose of God's discipline. I want you to recognize it this morning. It's there for us clearly. God's discipline, the purpose is our good. The purpose is our holiness. The purpose is a harvest of righteousness. The purpose is peace and quiet growth in grace and character. Just a few minutes in that this morning. The discipline, not enjoyable. It hurts. God's accomplishing his purpose to be good to you. In his goodness, by way of his discipline, he corrects you. God doesn't kick us out of the family, doesn't reject us, doesn't love us less. He simply corrects the things that need correcting. In his goodness, by way of his discipline, he protects. He protects us from ourselves, our bad decisions, our poor choices. In his wisdom and sovereignty, he's the creator. He knows how life works best. In our sin nature, our desires conflict with him and his word and his way. And we're inclined to go our own way and to do our own thing. No matter how much we think it's right for us, no matter how much we think it's good for us, it leads away from life. It ultimately leads to death and destruction. And so God's discipline to keep us from going there, to keep us from going that way, to keep us on his course, to redirect us away from our plan and instead into his. In his goodness, by way of discipline, he prepares us. One author writes, with a strong forearm, the apron-clad blacksmith puts his tongs into the fire, grasps the heated metal, places it on the anvil. His keen eye examines the glowing piece. He sees what the tool is now and envisions what he wants it to be. With a clear picture in his mind, he begins to pound. His left hand clutching the hot mass with the tongs, his right hand slams the 2-pound sledge onto the moldable metal. On the solid anvil, the smoldering iron is remolded. The smith knows the type of instrument he wants. He knows its size. He knows the shape. He knows the strength. So the hammer slams again and again and again, and the softened metal responds. But the response doesn't come easily. It doesn't come without discomfort. To melt down the old and recast it as new is a disrupting process. Yet the metal remains on the anvil, allowing the toolmaker to remake the scars, repair the cracks, refill the voids, and purge the impurities. And with time, a change occurs. What was dull becomes sharpened. What was crooked becomes straight. And what was weak becomes strong. What was useless becomes valuable. Then the blacksmith stops, eases the pounding, sets down the hammer. In the still silence, he examines the smoking tool for any mars or cracks. There are none now, and he plunges the smoldering instrument into the water nearby. With a hiss and rush of steam, the metal immediately begins to harden. The heat surrenders to the onslaught of cool water, and the pliable, soft mineral becomes an unbending, useful tool. It's often through the discipline and through the hardships that God shapes and molds you into a chosen instrument, a vessel of honor, ready, willing to be used by the Master for every good work he has planned for you. In his discipline, God accomplishes his purpose to make you holy, not only to be good to you, but to make you holy. Another writes this: there was a woman that wondered what a refiner of silver had to do with the silver, so she set out to find the answer. The woman made the appointment so that she could watch. She watched him as he held the piece of silver over the fire, let it heat up. The man told the woman that he had to hold the piece of silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest in order to burn away all the impurities. The silversmith continued that not only did he have to sit there and hold it the entire time, but he also had to keep his eye on the silver. If the piece of silver was left in the fire too long, then it would be destroyed. After quietly watching the process, the woman finally spoke up. She asked, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" The silversmith smiled at her and answered, "I know the silver is done when I can see my image in it." To make you holy just like he is, that's it. in his discipline, he makes you to look just like him so that the world might see more of him in you. In his discipline, God's bringing about a harvest of righteousness and peace in us so that in a very unrighteous world, we might live righteous lives. So that in a very chaotic in peace-deprived world, we might live in a peace that passes understanding, a peace, a contentment, a joy that this world cannot take away. In his discipline, God's producing in us a quiet growth in grace and in character. That's the purpose. Again, we'll say it because it's true. Discipline is painful. It hurts. It's not pleasant at all, but God's discipline, not only do we discover that it flows from his love and his relationship with us as our Father, as well we find that it's most beneficial for us. Not pleasant at the time, but in the end, it's blessing and it's good and it's holiness and it's righteousness and it's peace and it's growth in character and grace. Not pleasant when it's happening because of all that it's producing, though, listen to me this morning, you want it to happen in your life. Finally, number three, the response. We can respond to God's discipline in several ways. We can run from it, fight against it, be angry, resentful towards God because of it. This trouble in our lives that he could do something about, he chooses not to. This time when I seem to need him the most and he decides to go silent now, we can presume that he doesn't love us, forgetting that a father disciplines the child he loves. We can decide instead to believe that if God did love us, if he really loved us, he wouldn't let us go through this. He would keep us from his discipline. We can live in resentment with God, always a disappointment, a bitterness towards him, maybe even living in a relationship still with him, but a relationship that exists under a cloud of disappointment. Us always feeling that God let us down. Us always remembering, boy, I prayed and God didn't do anything. I asked God to change that and God didn't do it. I asked God to help and he never did. And maybe still living in right relationship with him, as it were, but always living under that cloud of disappointment. God didn't do what he should have done. God didn't do for me what he could have done for me. Hebrews offers a different response. Look at it in verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Verse 7. Endure this hardship as divine discipline. We endure. One author writes, the only other choice would be to refuse to endure it, to pout, to grow depressed, or to give up completely. Look again at verse 2. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith. Joy set before him endured the cross. Who for the joy set before him. That's how we endure in the midst of the discipline that's unpleasant and painful. We consider the joy set before us. Remember, what's the purpose of this discipline that God's brought into my life? What's the purpose of God going silent? What's the purpose of God not helping me now when he could help me now? What's the purpose of the struggle? What's the purpose of the stress and the suffering? Remember, God's blessing you. God's doing good. God's producing holiness and righteousness and peace and grace and character in you. We consider the joy, the end result that comes from the discipline, the Christ-likeness that's ultimately produced in us. Verse 12. Or verse 9, rather, submission. That's what we can do. That's how we can respond. We've all had human fathers who disciplined us and respond, and we respected them for it. Look at verse 12. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? We don't harden our hearts to his discipline. We allow it to drive us to our knees before God so that he can teach us the lessons that he has for us. Submission to God is to obey God. And look at the verse again. Look at verse 9. What happens when we submit to him? We live. Real is found in submitting to God, even to his discipline. Do you understand? This is the burden of Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to me. Some of you, you wouldn't experience real life unless God brought you through what he's bringing you through. You would never experience the real, complete, full life that he has for you until you've walked through this time. How long, oh Lord? God, when? God, why are you staying silent when I'm needing you the most now to speak? Submit to God, even to his discipline, and live. The source, it's his love, his affection. His discipline flows from this. You're his son, you're his daughter. He wouldn't discipline you if you weren't. He won't discipline you if you aren't. Do you believe that? Are you willing to receive that and accept it this morning from his word? Are you willing to endure it, submit to it, be changed by it, knowing, fully confident, the discipline that I'm experiencing even now, where does it come from? God's mean. God doesn't care. God can't. God doesn't. No. We stand upon his word. Where does the discipline come from? It flows from his love for us. It flows from the relationship that we have with him, that he's our father and we're his son, we're his daughter. The purpose for his discipline, it's your blessing, so that you might share in his holiness and be like him. So there might be a harvest of righteousness and peace in you, growth of grace and character. Do you believe that? Are you willing then to receive, to accept his discipline, endure it, submit to it, so that you might be changed by it? How will you respond this morning? Can I encourage you? Endure his discipline. Submit to his discipline. Accept his discipline. Don't grow weary. Dear brother, dear sister, don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Be changed by his discipline and live. Be changed by his discipline and be blessed. Make the blessing happen for you. Oh Lord, blessed is the person whom you discipline. Father, I prayed this morning for the one that's living right now in this moment, circumstances of their life. There may be right now in the middle of your discipline. And there's a sense where our hearts ache for our brother, for our sisters living there. Because it is the truth. Discipline, even yours, it's unpleasant. It hurts. No doubt but that this morning there are brothers and sisters in this room and they're hurting as they experience your discipline. But God, this morning I pray that as we recognize a little bit more and better the source of your discipline, your love for us, that you're our Father in heaven. As we understand a little bit more what your discipline is doing in us, all we can see right now is the pain. All we can see right now is the hurt. But Lord, this morning you open our eyes to see, oh, there's far more than that that you're doing in us. You're blessing us. You're being good to us in the midst of the pain. You're being good. You're blessing us with your holiness. You're producing in us a harvest of righteousness, peace. You're growing us in grace and in character. Lord, as our eyes are open to that this morning, even in the midst of the pain, the hurt, may there be a newfound ability to endure. Oh God, I pray for my brother and sister in the room today. The end of the discipline is the blessing, is all that would be good that you would desire to do. So would you help my brother and sister to endure? Father, a little bit difficult, a little bit different, the message this morning. But Lord, our prayer, as it has been throughout, today we make the blessing happen. I wonder but that there was a brother or sister just about ready to give up, but today they decide, no, I'm going to make the blessing happen. I'm going to endure. I'm going to submit. I wonder but that maybe there is a brother or sister fighting against your discipline. I wonder but that there's a brother or sister that was interpreting your discipline in all the wrong ways. And this morning, they would decide, even all of us decide, we're going to make the blessing happen. We're going to endure. We're going to submit to the discipline of God. We're going to live and we're going to be blessed. Would you help us in that, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, would you stand to your feet this morning? Be blessed today, this week. After this week, we'll be down to about 10 months left of this year. Be blessed, all 10 months of it that are left. Pray that you would be. I pray that you would do the things that would make it to be blessed. Submit to his discipline, endure it. I know it hurts. I don't want you to miss the message this morning. We're not insensitive. We're not unsympathetic to what you're going through. We make no mistake. We highlight it along with everything else in Hebrews 12. It hurts. It hurts. There's pain, there's unpleasantness, there's an unenjoyableness and discipline. But God's doing good and working good in you. And so above the pain, above the hurt, may you hear this today. Would you extend your hands so that you can take hold of this today? May the Lord hold you and keep you. May the Lord give you comfort. May the Lord shine his face upon you and give to you his favor and his peace. And listen to me, let me add, and you, in the middle of his discipline, may he do all of that in the midst even of your pain and you're hurt this morning. Do you believe he can? Amen. Amen.